This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PTB, Wrestling Network, friends and family, welcome to your home for everything modern day, everyday, current day, professional wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am Scott Criscolo. We are officially 2 weeks away from the big weekend, or I guess you could say the big week, down in out at SoFi, out in Southern California, regardless, and that is, of course, WrestleMania weekend. We do still have one more episode before the big show. 2 weeks from today, if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, on Friday morning the 17th, happy St. Patrick's Day. 2 weeks from today, the 31st, we will have, of course, our annual, and I think this will be now the 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Holy shit! It'll be the 10th annual main event Mega WrestleMania weekend preview episode, and that'll be in 2 weeks. 10 years. This will be the 10th one. We started at WrestleMania 30 in Nollins. And from there, we've gone to Santa Clara, Arlington, Orlando, New Orleans, MetLife, Tampa. Oh, wait, sorry. Felt like every WrestleMania was in Tampa for a while. And then, of course, last year down in Big D, where Pete and I were. And then, of course, this weekend, in 2 weeks, we will be in Southern California. So but we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to get into some we'll get into some other topics tonight. We'll get into the big stuff in a couple weeks. But joining me tonight is, of course, he is the purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon. And he feels that he should be inducting the great Muda into the WWE Hall of Fame. In abeyance, kind of a proxy of his boy who can't make it. Good evening, Godfather Nate Milton.
What's going on, Scotty? Yes, I will gladly be the substitute for that man called Sting at the Hall of Fame. But yeah, this is arguably the best time frame for a fan of sports and a fan of pro wrestling, that February through April time frame. You're going from the Super Bowl, you got the March Madness, you got the NBA Finals, you've got the draft for the NFL, and of course you've got WrestleMania, and one of the big parts of WrestleMania, as you alluded to, Scotty, is the Hall of Fame ceremony. And I will just take a moment to take a pause for the cause, Scott, off the top of tonight's show, because this week we lost a member of my personal Hall of Fame. So I've got lots of Hall of Fame, Scott, for sports and wrestling and music in my mind. And I've got a very specific, very exclusive Hall of Fame that is for white guys who I thought were black when I was growing up. This is a very exclusive Hall of Fame that includes two members. One is still with us, the great Mark Merrow, a.k.a. Johnny B. Badd. And the second member of the white guys who I thought was black growing up club passed away this week, Bobby Caldwell. What you won't do for love.
Oh, geez. I mean,
I know I'm not the only one who thought he was a brother until we saw the music video.
I got to be honest. I thought he was, too.
I thought he looked like Luther Vandross. And when I watched the video, he looks more like Chuck Mangione. And I'm like, who is this man?
Oh God, I love that. We hear his lovely chuckle in the background. Good evening, Sheriff Pete Schirmacher. How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. Apologies for Pete's connection. He's talking with Saudi Arabia now about the King of the Ring.
To be fair, Daddy, like, he not only is he negotiating those rights out in Saudi, but I also hear that Pete is broadcasting tonight from Aaron Rodgers' darkness retreat, so they don't get good Wi-Fi out there.
Yes.
Yes. Pete Schermacher to the Jets confirmed.
Yeah, not.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That's crazy. Anyway, Pete, good to have you. But, yeah, we apologize for Pete's connection. Steve Willey, dealing with some family stuff. We love Steve to death. But he'll be with us in 2 weeks, and I've already got his post-wrestling post up because there's a few cards I want to just giggle about tonight. We'll get into that. We'll go deep into the woods in 2 weeks when we have our Mega Mania preview. But Steve will be back in a couple weeks. So tonight, guys, I just kind of wanted to, you know, goof off and have a little fun, talk about stuff going on around. Of course, WrestleMania proper takes place April 1st and 2nd down at SoFi. Most of the card is out. There's probably a match here or there that has not, come out yet. There is one match I want to really get into tonight, just the build, and then we'll get into the match itself in a couple weeks on the preview. Because everybody wants to make fun of it, yet people can't take their eyes off it. Maybe it's like a grisly car accident or something. But, of course, the big announcements that came out the last couple of weeks, or the last, week or so, the first two inductees into the 2023 WWE Hall of Fame. The first one, and I guess the headliner. The second active competitor being inducted. He'll stay active after the induction, unlike Ric Flair, who was inducted and probably retired. Well, kayfabe retired the next night at WrestleMania 24 down in Orlando. And, of course, Rey Mysterio. Going into the Hall of Fame, being inducted, guys, by Conan, which I thought was very interesting. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, the two of them kind of came up through the ranks together through the, through the 90s. I bet if he was still alive, I think it'd be safe to say that Eddie would probably have inducted him.
Yeah.
If Eddie was still alive. What are your thoughts on Ray, Nate, being the headliner? I think this is a good spot. I think it's going to be a solid Hall of Fame overall anyway, but I'm cool with him. I think he deserves it. I mean, we've talked about it on this show many, many times. We've argued that it's either him or Jushin Liger as probably the greatest cruiserweight ever. Mm-hmm. They're probably 1A, 1B. What are your thoughts on him headlining the class?
I mean, Ray's a great headliner. Like, we all love Ray. I think the only knock you can put on Ray is it doesn't feel maybe as special because he's still active, as you mentioned.
Right.
And a lot of times our headliners are guys that we haven't seen for a few years and raise on TV each and every week. But besides that, I think it's a great fit, in California. There's going to be a huge Rey Mysterio contingent in the audience. I think Conan, we know he's a great talker. I think Eddie obviously would have been the choice if Eddie were still with us. Dom would be good if they weren't in a storyline right now. I think it's going to be great because, as you mentioned, Ray and Liger, whichever order you want to put them in, those are two guys who really influenced modern wrestling, as I'm sure, we'll talk about when we get to the next inductee. Like, this class feels like it's honoring guys who are, it's when you watch the NBA, Scott, or when you watch the NFL, Pete, and we're at the age now where we're seeing sons of the guys that we watched growing up. And it's like, yeah, all of us were watching Ray when he first came in, and now so many odd years later, he's getting this honor. I think it's going to be cool, and yeah, that speech is going to be great.
I agree. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, clearly they chose it because he's in LA. I think Nate said, it just kind of cheapens it a little that he's still active. And it almost like it's, I don't know, I just don't think it's right. But, I mean, it is a kayfabe thing. I mean, it's just not, it's the WWE Hall of Fame. They can do whatever they want. But it just seems like, I don't know. It doesn't feel authentic because this guy is supposed to be someone who's retired, not working, or maybe doing indies here and there, not someone who's on the active roster in an active program. But he definitely, on paper, he checks all the boxes. all-time great worker, longevity, drawing card. I mean, yeah, he hits all the boxes, but it just doesn't feel right, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is a little odd. I think they're being very particular, I feel like, about the class this year, because obviously next year in Philly, they're gonna jack that sucker up full of ECW alums. I think Paul goes in next year. I think we may see a Tommy Dreamer go in next year. I think we'll see, maybe if he's sober, if you think of find Sandman, I think they'll find Sandman to go in. Maybe Raven. I mean, Raven's toiling around with the NWA right now.
Let me ask you this, Pete, because I was thinking about this while you were talking about Ray being active, and I was like, if not Ray, maybe the only other guy, and he's semi-active, would be Cena for this spot.
Yeah,
because Cena's not in yet, is he?
No.
And it would be apropos since he left the company for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, leaving and coming back once a year is one thing. I mean, obviously Taker, very kayfabe the Taker is, was not going to go in until he was bona fide never wrestling again, even though he did say never with, you know, the thing. Yeah, I think Ray was just an easy pick here. You know, they try to be very, regional sometimes with the Hall. So obviously being in California and, you know, the big Mexican contingent, I think that was obviously part of it. And again, I think they probably already have a list made for, obviously they have the rest of the class probably picked right now. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, Triple H just wants this WrestleMania over with. He is uber pumped to be going to Philly next year. He's an East Coast guy. He's fucking WWE old school. He is pumped for that Philly Mania next year.
What if Cena's the headliner in Philly? That'd be amazing.
Cena sucks. We love Cena. Cena sucks. Dueling chance at the Wells Fargo Arena. That'd be so great.
That'd be just trolling Philly.
Oh my God. That'd be so great. So Rey Mysterio is a headliner. You know, what matches come to mind? Well, obviously, two for me. Well, three for me that come to mind. Obviously, the big one is him and Eddie from Halloween Havoc 97. That's probably one of the greatest matches of all time. I've always loved him and Kurt at SummerSlam 02. It's a great match. And more for the, I would say more for the nostalgic part of it than the match itself, but the triple threat. At WrestleMania 22 with where he wins the world title against Kurt and Orton. I think that's, you know, just, again, more for nostalgia purposes because, you know, he won it for Eddie and all that kind of stuff. What matches, Pete, come to your mind when you think of Ray?
Like, I remember one that, I mean, like, the first thing I really saw him in was on the war tape, the J-Cup, where he wrestled Psychosis. And all it was just it was just state-of-the-art. Maybe it was like they did 6 minutes, 7 minutes of just high spots. It was like, and so that always stood out. And then that's where I first saw him. That's, and as a tape collector, I started trying to find stuff on him. And, you know, and then I got some Mexican tapes from AAA and saw him and Psychosis have an amazing 2 out of 3 fall match. I think it was in September of 1995. That was just absolutely incredible. Him and Hoovy, you know, they had that ECW classic, and then he had that, absolutely had a lot of great matches in Mexico with Hoovy, and then his match in Bash at the Beach, and when he not debuted, but made his second pay-per-view against Psychosis was another match that a lot of people don't talk about but that match was incredible. I always liked him and Ultimo Dragon together. I mean, he's just had a great, great, great career and stuff. And yeah, everyone remembers a lot of the most recent stuff in WWE history. But, man, he had some amazing ones before he even got there and just revolutionized. I mean, then Paul Heyman opening up the door. Then WCW, he just, you know, became a star there. And then WWE finally cemented him as a legend, you know.
What about you, Nate? Any matches stand out for you?
Yeah, I think if we're talking strictly WWE, obviously, the Eddie matches, you know, the Kurt matches that you mentioned. My personal favorite, or one of my personal favorites, because I was in the building, was, you know, during the CM Punk Cena feud where Ray had like that little mini run.
Yeah.
And Cena and Ray fought for the title in Hampton, and then CM Punk re-debuted. That was just a great atmosphere on that Raw. But much like Pete, a lot of my fond memories of Ray are from before the WWE, particularly the WCW era, you know, because he was one of those guys who just toiled on the undercard for years on Nitro and was the best part of Nitro, or part of the best part of Nitro. And so, like, I feel like if Ray never stepped foot in the WWF / WWE, he's still a Hall of Famer. But it's almost incredible, Scotty, how much of a second act he had in this company that traditionally would not look at somebody like him to be a star, somebody who was that size, wrestling that style, and until recently wasn't the greatest promo. And the fact that, you know, he was able to overcome all that and be a world champion and be this person that sold a lot of merch and fans are always excited to see. Like, I think, you know, pound for pound, he is one of the best of all time. And it's cool to see him get this honor.
And you can actually make the argument, like, he's one of those guys, I have a small list where I would say he might be the greatest TV worker of all time. As in, they always gave him enough time between 6 and 20 minutes, 20-plus minutes, and always had a good match. I mean, he's one of those things where he's almost bulletproof to have not to have a bad match. He's always one of the all-time great TV workers.
And just the, you know, that presentation, the different outfits and the different masks, you know, coming up with some of the comic book-inspired stuff. And, you know, and the guys in the SmackDown 6 era, when you think about that era, it's just shows you the importance of Ray. You know, like Pete said, he was a guy that consistently gave you good to great TV matches. And he is somebody who I don't think we fully appreciate. Like, everybody loves Ray, but he is one of those guys that, you know, like, he is just the presentation, the total package, you know, not Lex Luger total package, but the total package as a TV performer. Like, Ray had it, you know, from the very beginning. You know, who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y Mysterio, the entrance. You know, I think that he is somebody who, minor nitpicks aside in terms of him being an active guy going in the Hall of Fame, I think it's going to be really cool, and it's well-deserved.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It definitely is. It does seem weird that he's still, you know, active, but I think he's a perfect. I think this spot, this is the spot. I don't think you'll see a better opportunity for him without him being second tomato to somebody else. So,
and they better not shoot a damn angle at this thing. Don't do it.
I don't think they should. Honestly,
don't do it. Don't do it, Paul.
Yeah, don't have
Dom
like heckling him when, you know, the only reason I don't think they will is because, at least for that weekend, because really he only acts that way when, you know, obviously when Mama Rhea's around, and she's obviously got bigger fish to fry that weekend. So I don't think they will. I think they'll I have a feeling they will let that go and then just, you know, deal with it. Particularly if they're wrestling the next night. I don't know if they're wrestling Saturday or Sunday. I'm going to look now. I'm going to look now, and look at the WrestleMania 39 card and see if they've actually split, let's see. Have they split the show in half yet?
I don't think they have.
I don't think so.
No, they haven't.
The Trish Stratus six man or six woman, and they hadn't assigned it a show yet.
Yeah, right now the only matches that are locked in is Seth and Logan Paul is Saturday night. And obviously, the Chief and Mr. Devontae are Sunday night. That's locked in stone. The other matches are all still in the ether.
And I don't think they're going to tell us until like the very last minute, because they want people to buy tickets for both nights. They don't want people to be like, you know what? Like last year, like one night was clearly better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but you know what? I got to give WWE credit for that last year, because I was thinking, because I remember, and I think I said this, guys, on the first show back, was that the row in front of me, I sat in the same seats both nights at AT&T, and the row in front of me, the people sitting there Saturday were different than the people sitting there Sunday. It was different people in the row. Now, we were all there, the same, the row. I was with Sean Kidd and Logan and Schiff, and I think I was with Gruny and those guys. But the row in front of us, different people Saturday than Sunday. And the best thing they did was, because they said ahead of time that the Stone Cold Owen stuff was going to be on Saturday, and then Taker came out. Obviously, they did a very smart thing and did not bone the Sunday crowd. Mm-hmm. Austin came back out Sunday as part of the whole Vince Austin Theory stuff. And then Taker came out again. Now, I was blessed because I got this. Well, I was there both nights anyway, but I got to see Triple H come out and put the boots down. And that was very, very special for me. So regardless of like that part of it, there's nothing. I don't think there's any guests that will make up both days at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this case, I think, yeah, this is going to be a case where, you know, you pick, you're right, guys. I don't think they want to say who's wrestling when, because they want you to buy both nights. So
yeah, because as soon as they announce what night Brock and Omos is, that's going to be the show that's sold out.
That's the one. That is the match I wanted. That's what I wanted to talk to you guys about in a few minutes, about that amazing. That's going to close night. Devontae and the Chief have to take a back seat, because Brock and Omos is ending the night. Let me tell you. Okay. What do I got? What's in this coffee? Irish coffee. That's what it is. So let's talk about the other guy that is being inducted, that has officially been announced as inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. A very personal favorite of mine. I know he's a big favorite of both your guys. Ric Flair announced it on the Bump, which is their week, which is WWE's weekly show, because they do it out of my building that I work in. And that is, and this is no surprise, because I think Liger went in when he retired, I guess it was, 3 years ago. And that is the great Muta, KG Muto, the great Muta is going in, and he is being inducted by Ric Flair. Immediately out of the gate, I disagree with that. No disrespect to Slick Rick, because I love Nate, but we all know who should be inducting Muta, and I said it to Nate, his boy, obviously, the man they call Sting should be inducting Muta, because those two made each other in 1989. But of course, Sting, they don't want to have to deal with Tony Khan negotiations. God only knows what Cody's got to come out and drop the world title to Orange Cassidy if as a trade to allow Sting to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Anyway. So instead Ric Flair's, which is fine. I mean, it's still Slick Rick. It's still Nate. I have no problem with that. But if they were able to pick comfortably, I totally agree with, I totally think, Nate, that Sting should be inducting Muta. But, this is a no brainer. Yes, Muta did not wrestle in WWE, as far as I know of. I know the only Japanese guy that I know wrestled in his prime in WWE was Fujinami, because he wrestled in the mid-80s with the, I guess it was the light heavyweight belt or junior heavyweight, whatever they called it at the time.
I Inoki wrestled Backlund.
Yeah, and you had Inoki. Yep, you had Inoki. And obviously Sasuke and those guys in the late 90s, but I'm talking about like the studs.
Tiger Mask.
Yeah, Tiger Mask. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, like the legit studs. Your thoughts, Pete, on Muta going in? Obviously, he's a favorite to us here on the show.
Yeah, no, a no-brainer. Clearly, I mean, you know, we weren't going to get Sting inducting him. Flair kind of makes sense, since they wrestled each other in 89 in WCW. Flair also was his, you know, was the booker that finally made Muta a star. He was the one who had the book at the time in WCW, so there's that connection too. But yeah, it's a total no-brainer. I mean, he was the guy, you know, when he first came out, he got over immediately in WCW in '89. Had a really good run, and then, you know, of course, his Japanese stuff is legendary. But him and Sting were always linked together. He was a surefire Hall of Famer, great, great wrestler. Growing up as a kid, I must have been 15 or 16 when I first saw him in 89. Actually, yeah, 17. And he was doing those Dragon Shaw matches where it was like, you know, a handicap of him 1-on-3 type stuff, which was
right.
Awesome. His presentation with the mist and blowing mist in Missy Hyatt's face and the feud with Eddie Gilbert and then transitioning into Sting based off their history of Eddie Gilbert and Sting's history in the UWF. Because at that time they had the committee, which Eddie Gilbert was part of. And so he pitched that idea. And I really think that's just really cool stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Your thoughts, Nate?
Yeah, obviously, no brainer for Muta to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, he, again, much in the same vein as Ray or Liger, he is one of those guys that really influenced a lot of modern stars in terms of the way he performed in ring. And, you know, him and Sting, that is still to this day one of my favorite rivalries in the sport. The guys were just mirrors of each other and made each other better. And so it's been fun seeing Muta, you know, on this retirement tour, you know, all five of his retirements that we've seen over the past year or so, you know, reconnect with Sting during the retirement because they did mean a lot to each other's careers in the early days. In terms of the induction itself, I think Flair is a good choice. I might have gone with, if you can't get Sting or if you don't want to deal with Tony and make a deal to bring Sting in, I might have gone with Nakamura. I think that might have been good. But I don't know. We talked about it before the show, Scotty. I don't know how comfortable they would feel because Muta's obviously going to need a translator for his speech.
Yes. Yep.
And Knock, as much as I love Knock, like his English, it's still, you know, not fluent, which, again, it's a second language. Like, we would we be fluent doing this show in Japanese? Probably not. Definitely not. Right. So I can understand them not wanting to go back-to-back with Muta and – or Knock and Muta. So Flair's good. You know, Flair's a good talker. He can talk about the old days and Muta in the NWA and you know, deal with Gary Hart. And again, one of my favorite NWA/WCW matches of all time is that tag with Sting and Flair against Funk and Muta.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. Where the cage catches on fire and Muta does one of the most badass things in the history of pro wrestling where he puts out a fire with his mist.
Yes.
It's like Muta was just the coolest. Like, and that's the thing. You know, I think a lot of today's promoters could learn a lesson from how Muta was presented back in the day because Muta wasn't out here cutting 15-minute promos every week. Muta had a manager, Muta had a mouthpiece, and then he was just a badass that did cool moves and was intimidating. And just his style, I think, as much as I love Liger, I would even credit Muta a little bit more in terms of opening up Western eyes to Japanese wrestling, at least in our generation, because Muta was just this great character. And you're like, he made you stop the, you know, when you're going through the channels and you ended up on a superstation. Who is this guy in this robe with this paint spitting this mist? He made you stop, Pete. And so, yeah, I think this is a great honor for Muta. And the only thing missing is that man called Sting.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I have a feeling that a certain number one contender for the Raw Women's title facing Bianca Belair that weekend may be seconded to the ring.
Mm.
One missed spewer deserves another.
Yes. Wow. And Oscar was another person I thought who could do a great induction. But again, I think you run into the same issue, so to speak, that you would with Knock.
Yeah. Yeah. Her English is a little better, but still. Yeah. It's still a little rough. But I would be so. And no disrespect to our girl Bianca, but that would be badass to see Oscar be seconded to the ring by one of her idols. And arguably one of the greatest ever.
And
speaking of
one of them cool ass and great mood entrances used to do it like the dome, but do it for Asuka with him bringing mm-hmm. her would be pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, it absolutely would.
Dope ones, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. So I was looking at because you know we do this. I like looking at Dave's you know. Match list, you know, his 5-star list, and I'm looking at both guys and seeing how many each of them have, at least the two that we have in the hall so far. Although he's obviously on there too. The first Muda match I see, I don't remember this match. Maybe you guys do. Pete, maybe you do. It's him and Vader.
Match.
The date is August 9th, 1991. It's night two of that year's G1 Climax. G1,
yeah.
Dave gave that 5 stars. I don't think I've ever seen that match.
Great match, yeah. The fans were sitting on pillows and threw pillows in the ring to like celebrate it. It was an amazing visual.
Mm, interesting. That's kind of cool. Let's see. Misawa, Saruta, nope, he's not in that match. Yamada, I'm looking down here and see if I can find. That couldn't have been his only one. Kenta, Stan Hansen, Fuoka, Steve Williams. So I'm into 93. I don't see another.
Give the Steiners, him and Muda and Sasuke versus Steiners a 5-star at what point? No.
I'm looking now. I'm into 94. I haven't seen it yet. Sasuke Liger, Brett and Owen. All right. Well, I have my first Ray match. My first Ray 5-star match Dave gave was him and Hoovy. Mm-hmm. November 30th, 1994. Triple A at the Matamoros show. That's Ray's first match that Dave gave 5 stars to. I do not see. Seriously, he could not have only given Muda 1 5-star match. That just sounds ridiculous.
I think he gave him a few later on when he had the IWGP belt. I think it was like it might have been in 2002 or something, like towards the end.
All right. Well, I found Ray's second match. His second match, Dave gave him 5 stars, and this was against Psychosis. And I think this is the one you mentioned. This might have been one of the ones you mentioned, Pete. September 22nd, 1995.
Yep, that's the one I was referencing.
Yep, Triple A show. And then another one you mentioned, third match for Ray. I believe it is the only ECW match on this list. March 9th, 1996, the Big Ass Extreme Bash. So that's 3 Ray matches and 1 match for Muda. Is he in this match? No, he's not in this Michinoku Pro. I'm into 97 now. Misawa Kawada, Shawn and Taker. Wow, Dave loved this Holy Demon Army. Toshiaki Kawada and Akira.
Oh, yeah.
He's given those guys like fucking 7 matches so far.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Crazy. All right, so I'm into the 2000s. Let's see if your theory's right.
They were just working a completely different style. It was hard hitting, athletic. Yeah, it was amazing at the time.
2010s. Oh my god, no, holy crap. In his amazing this isn't gospel or anything, but in his amazing career, yeah. Muda has only gotten 1 5-star match from Dave, and that was that was him and Vader, 1991 G1 Climax Night 2. Ray, he's given 3 5-star matches to between 2 and 95, One against Hoovy and two against Psychosis. So
Dave's always had a style that he likes, which is high flying. I mean, and Muta's a high flyer, don't get me wrong, but not to the extent of like what Ray and Hoovy and Psychosis were doing, you know.
Right. So So there you go. So just a peek. I mean, again, that doesn't mean anything. But
now Muta's sitting there looking at Ray like Angela Bassett looked at Jamie Lee Curtis on Sunday night. That was supposed to be my award, Dave Meltzer. I have given you everything.
I have given you everything. Oh, that's funny. So we will keep up. We'll see what the other. So let's see. So usually the formula for the Hall of Fame classes are we usually induct a headliner, a retired guy, a manager, a woman, a female, an announcer, and somebody dead. I don't know. I mean, Eddie's already in. They've already
Bobby handled. Caldwell. Did Bobby Caldwell ever sing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania? Vince is just, I thought he was a black guy.
I mean, is he better than Aretha Franklin? Well, Gorilla didn't like Aretha Franklin, that's for sure. Yeah, she was all right. She was kind of a bitch. We'll have to get a look.
Who's going
to
be the woman this year?
I don't know.
Mickie James?
Maybe.
She's working that match.
Yeah.
Not a bad pick.
Yeah, and she's probably retiring, so. I could see that.
In Vince's mind, she's an Impact, so she might as well be retired.
Pretty much. We don't know. I don't know. We don't know if Impact's doing a show that weekend. We'll have to take a peek. Oh, God. We're out of announcers. I think every announcer is pretty much covered. Joey Style? No, he'll go in next year. I don't know. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. And obviously, by the time we get to our next episode in 2 weeks, the Hall of Fame class should be full. So, all right. So, looking ahead, I'm looking at some cards here. Again, I don't want to go too nuts because I know we want Steve here to help deep dive, but looking ahead to now, the week starts Thursday, the big weekend of WrestleMania, you know, indie shows. There's nothing before Thursday. Now, I remember pretty vividly, I think, that last year in Dallas, correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, but I remember like shows were starting like on Tuesday last year.
Pretty sure. Yeah, they were good. They were popping up.
So obviously we have a couple weeks, but the big one, that Ukrainian Cultural Club in LA, boy, that thing's going to get a workout. Woo! There's a card at 2 o'clock on Thursday and a card at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is the big one. That's the Josh Barnett Bloodsport 9. That's the card that's got Ibushi versus Speedball, Mox versus Davey, Yamura versus Coughlin, Kratos versus little baby bulldog. Josh Barnett's wrestling Thatcher. Yeah, that should be a fun little show.
Yeah. They've never had a bad one, you know.
Right.
Everyone, I've been to like two or three live ones, but they've always exceeded my expectations going in.
Right. Impact in New Japan is doing another multiverse of matches, card, which called Only the Strong Survive. I was at the show last year. Wow. And I thought Speedball and Alex Shelley was like an amazing match. Well, this year on that Impact New Japan show, Mike Bailey's wrestling Will Ospreay. Oh my God. That might be going on Dave's list. I'll tell you that. What a card.
Well, both are Dave favorites.
Yes, they are. Moose and Jeff Cobb. Now that's what I call pure Haas right there. That's just slapping meats right there. Jeff Cobb and Moose. Yeah. Minoru Suzuki and Kenta. That should be fun. Yeah, bunch of other good. That one is on Thursday night at 11. GCW for the culture. That's a it's midnight local time, so it's 3 o'clock in the morning here.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Rush is wrestling on that show. Then that Friday, obviously there's a bunch of stuff. TJPW, GCW versus DDT is at the boy, that Ukrainian Cultural Center is going to get a workout. The Globe Theater. Of course, that Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Galen Center is ROH's Super Card of Honor. There's only two matches scheduled. Samoa Joe will defend the ROH TV title against Mark Briscoe. And the Lucha Brothers are in the Reach for the Sky ladder match, but that's it.
That's funny that, you know, Tony Khan never wanted AEW to run WrestleMania weekend. But because Ring of Honor's had a history, has no problem with them.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to have the Supercard Honor. Then, of course, SmackDown to the Hall of Fame is one show. That'll be at the Crypto Arena or the old Staples. I still call it Staples. Joey Janela's Spring Break is at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock our time. Boys, Mike Bailey's going to be all over this week. I think he's wrestling like every show. So right now, there's not a ton of matches. There's still cards coming in. So obviously, when we you know, do our big preview in 2 weeks, there'll be many more matches because I'm already on Saturday. Saturday is really the only three. Well, there's one card at midnight Eastern time. Gringo Loco's The World on Lucha 2. But really, the big things on Saturday, obviously Stand and Deliver, Effie's Big Gay Brunch, and then night one of Mania. So, now, here's something interesting, guys. According to Post Wrestling, your boys, these are your boys, Nate, the boys at Post. This is what they have on Saturday night. Okay? Saturday night, they have Charlotte and Rhea, Bianca and Asuka. I can't see both women's matches. Well, they did that last year. Well, last year, the women's matches were on both, right? Or no? No, I don't remember. Yeah, I think they were. Theory and Cena, Edge and Finn in the Cell, Brock Omos, Seth Logan, the six woman tag, and that's it. So that's what they have for night one. But this is Post. I don't know if they're just guessing, but that's a decent hunk of the card. So, and then Sunday the 2nd is the Millennium Biltmore at 3 o'clock on Sunday is the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. All right, you know what? Forget it. They just have the matches like that because they have all the same matches on Sunday too, except they added Roman and Devontae. So all right. So it doesn't count. Don't forget what I'm saying. They just have all the matches on both nights. The Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame guys, they're being inducted. That is happening on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Millennium Biltmore. Obviously the card will probably be bigger the induction ballot will be bigger in 2 weeks when we do this again. But right now they have Christopher Daniels, cheerleader Melissa, and Jimmy Jacobs is in the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame class. So that's pretty interesting. Frankie K is inducting Daniels because they're bros. Dave Prezak is inducting Melissa, and Alex Shelley is inducting Jimmy. So, and then of course night two of Mania, and then Monday night is Raw, and they'll be at Staples or Crypto or whatever the hell you want to call it. Yeah. Again, we'll get more into that. We'll get more into that obviously in 2 weeks when the card starts to fill out more, and we'll have much more stuff when we go through the full 4 days of stuff, or maybe more, because I definitely remember, guys, when we did it last year, I remember indie shows on like definitely Wednesday, maybe, I don't know if Tuesday, maybe I'm stretching Tuesday, but there were definitely shows on Wednesday. Pete, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
There were definitely shows on Wednesday. Tuesday, I thought there was,
It was mostly just the little local ones. They weren't like the big.
Right.
Stuff. Now, yeah.
Yeah, the big stuff doesn't really, the big stuff won't kick in until Thursday at least. Because a lot of people probably, you know, a lot of, you know, Mania visitors probably won't be going until Thursday anyway. So in any event. All right. So we're talking about, you know, we're making fun of this whole Omos Brock thing. Apparently, from what I've been reading on various sites, the Omos Brock segments are getting the most viewers in the quarter hours. So making fun of it all you want, people are digging the Brock Omos feud.
Hosses are hosses, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree, Pete, 100%. Plus, the other thing is, I think it's kind of cool that Brock is wrestling somebody else, obviously somebody other than Roman, and obviously somebody else that's not a world title match and has to wrestle last. Now, the last time we had something like this was when he wrestled Dean at 32, and that was a disaster.
Wasn't it?
It was terrible. That match was
I thought the build was actually good. I love
the build was good. Yeah, the build was good. As a matter of fact, speaking of WrestleMania 32, cheap plug here, check out the PTB Wrestling Network. Earlier this week, we dropped the newest episode of Through the Looking Glass. Dave Hall and I, guys, I'd love for you to listen to it. Dave Hall and I rebooked, this is our second annual WrestleMania rebook Through the Looking Glass. So we went through an alternate universe, and we actually rebooked WrestleMania 32. Dave and I had very different cards. So check that out, everybody. It's over on it's on the network. It dropped on Wednesday. I think you'll find it pretty cool. We rebooked WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania 16, and WrestleMania 32. So check it out. I'm just fascinated by it. I think people, honestly, forget the whole, oh, Vince must have booked this, blah, 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 yada, 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 all that babbling shit that nobody knows anything about. I honestly think that people are legitimately fascinated that Brock is not in the main event wrestling the same freaking three guys he always wrestles. He's wrestling somebody different. And maybe people are happy with Brock that he's actually, I mean, I'm going to tell you now, we'll do our preview, but I think Omos is going to win. I do. I think Brock is realizing, yeah, maybe it's time for me to start, putting some people over. You know, I'm getting paid. What do I give a shit?
Well, you know, much more highly of Brock than I do.
I mean, he's never been one of my favorites. Dr. G fucking hates him. But I think he doesn't give a shit. I think he's getting paid. So fuck it. Whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Because I could see almost winning, too. But I think it's less Brock wanting to pass the torch to the next generation and more, oh, Vince is giving me a couple extra bucks to put this guy over, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take it.
They're going to go 6, maybe 8 minutes tops. It's not going long.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm sure Triple H
might go long, by the way.
No.
No, absolutely not. I would not see it hitting double-digit minutes. I mean, if it goes 10, I'd be very surprised. But I agree with you.
There's no fucking way. Yeah, I know.
Somewhere between 6 and 8 minutes. Just an easy Haas match.
Yeah.
You know what I think about? I think about Brock and Goldberg at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. Nice 6-minute Haas sprint.
Yep.
You know, that's what I think. That's
high impact, make everything matter.
Exactly.
Bada boom.
Yep. Hit hard, hit often.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That's what I think. So, but people like it. I don't think it's as big a deal as I think people are taking pleasure out of out of this feud. I really do.
Oh yeah, I mean, bottom line is people look at it on TV and they legitimately say, "Well, both these guys can whip my ass," you know?
Right.
Now, do I think Seth Rollins could whip my ass? I don't think that. But I mean, I don't want to test it. It's just one of those things. It's just I it's wrestling is scripted and stuff. But there's times you can buy into something like, man, these guys are tough motherfuckers.
Right. I have thoroughly enjoyed Roman and Mr. Devante. I think WWE has done a good job of kind of quelling the Sammy emotions for now. I think people are fine. I think Cody has done a nice job of kind of making sure he's the center of attention. That's what he's got to do. What do you think so far, Nate, on Mr. Devontae and how he has settled in his building with the Chief?
Well, first, I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Bloodline story. You know, was on a podcast about a month ago, True Hill Heat, and we were talking about, is the Bloodline story one of the best WWE/WWF storylines ever? And I would say yes, just in terms of the length, you know, going all the way back to the pandemic days when this storyline started, to all the twists and turns where we had Main Event Jay and then Jimmy coming into the fold. We had the Brock Lesnar part of the story, Paul Heyman, whose side is he on? We bring Sammy in. We get the whole Sami Zayn part. And then we take the Cody Devontae Rhodes story, which was already hot over in its own corner of the WWE universe, and we merge it with this Bloodline thing that's been going strong for 2 years, pretty much. And I think they've done a great job of folding Cody into this story, keeping Sammy hot without allowing him to overtake Cody. Cody's still getting really good reactions. I feel like the audience is going to get what they want at WrestleMania in terms of Sammy and Kevin winning the tag titles and Cody winning the world title. And then you get to tell the story of what is the Bloodline post-Mania when they've lost everything. When they're right. Angela Bassett and Wakanda forever. Have I not given? That's what Roman Reigns' promo is going to be. Have I not given everything? acknowledge me. I think they've done a really good job of you know, using kind of the real world stuff with Dusty and Roman, and you playing that against Cody. Like, I think, you know, we know Cody can cut a good promo, but also Roman's good at this now, and you got Heyman, you know, stirring the pot. So I've enjoyed the storyline so far. It's easily the thing I'm most looking forward to from the two nights of WrestleMania, not only because I want to see Cody win, but even if he doesn't, like, I think there's a good story they can spin out of that as well. But I think Cody's going to win.
I definitely think Cody's going to win. I don't think there's any doubt. But I agree with you about the Bloodline thing. I think that Raw the night after is going to be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. What are your thoughts on the build so far, Pete?
I think it's been really good. You get to link into that hot angle with the Bloodline, which, I mean, honestly, it's one of my favorite WWE angles I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, I'd put Bruno Larry as, like, my all-time favorite WWF angle, and this is right on it. It's taking a lot of the same, a lot of playbook, a lot of the emotion, just like Bruno and Larry had. And I'm expecting Cody to go over. He reminds me of one of them old school world champions, like in the NWA. It almost feels weird that his world title is going to be like he was almost made to, like, when he won the NWA belt, he was like made to be that type of champion. So it almost feels weird. Him the whole, because, you know, they've always had these real colorful guys and stuff, as opposed to like Cody's a little, reminds me a lot like a Flair or Dory Funk in a way, where they were always in the suit and tie, Jack Briscoe-esque type of world champion who could talk. It almost feels like out of place in the WWE in a way.
I agree, and I think it's gonna be a great match. I have a feeling, you know, again, we'll get more into this in a couple weeks, with Steve. I don't want to go too deep in the weeds on picks and stuff, but I will say this. I think that it has been compelling enough. I think Cody, and I'm glad that people stopped doing the whole Sammy is Daniel Bryan and Cody is Batista. And I'm like, no, nothing. Mm-hmm. Two completely different, situations. Completely different.
It's just WWE just hasn't booked itself so well where they actually could pick two baby faces to be in that slot. They haven't done that in years, where they've had that type of where they've had a 1-1 and a 1A. I mean, because either one of them could be the one and the other one could be the 1A. I mean, it's just they just haven't ever done that where they've been notorious for being terrible at booking baby faces. And here they've been able to have two guys who could legitimately be the number one guy, number one ace, babyface in the territory. And in the past, they've never done that well.
Hmm.
Maybe since Hogan and Savage at the same time when they had two.
Yeah.
Baby, I can't remember when they had two, like, top, like, who could be the, you know?
No, Hogan Warrior, maybe.
Yeah.
Hogan Warrior. Rock and Steve in 2001, although they end up turning Steve heel foolishly.
Right. Yeah, Rock. Yeah, that's too fair.
Yeah. Cena Punk? Eh? Maybe? Eh. Not really.
But I think you think about it, I think they kind of lucked into, even Rock and Austin, they lucked into one of them. Because it felt like one was definitely starting as a heel, and he just got too hot and became a babyface. It wasn't the booking that made him a babyface, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've done a good job, and obviously we'll have a couple more weeks of programming to see how things kind of tighten up, and then when we circle back again in a couple weeks for our preview special, you know, we'll get obviously another clear view as we'll be on the fortnight of it. Getting back, well, it's in my head. Is Lita in the hall? She is, right?
Yeah. I love her and Trish are.
Trish,
well,
yeah.
I was at Trish's. Trish went in the hall in 2013 at the Garden. I was there for that one. Trying to think. You know what? Aren't they talking to I think I read somewhere. Maybe it was on might have been on Cultaholic. I think they're talking to Stacey Keibler. About going into the hall, which would make sense. Tori Wilson's in, so if Tori Wilson's in, then Stacey Keibler.
Yeah,
they had Stacey do her speech.
Yeah,
but Stacey just feel like it. I think she did that as a favor to Tori, where I think she just knows she's so much above wrestling at this point.
Right. I mean, she went out with George Clooney. That's right. Tori. Well, let's see who had the better boyfriend. I mean, Stacey went out with George Clooney. Tori went out with A-Rod.
So,
I don't know.
I thought you were gonna go Billy Kidman there.
Billy Kidman or George Clooney?
I mean, it's comparable.
You are funny, Nathaniel.
I'll go George Clooney.
You know, slight edge to Clooney.
Clooney didn't take any steroids, just as movies did.
You know, right? But yeah, but you know, it's Jeter had the breakup package.
That is true.
Yes.
That's right. None of those guys got, none of those guys got, you know, the gold watch and signed ball of me. So, I'm trying to think. How about announcers? We'll talk a little Hall of Fame for a few minutes. Let me think. You know, it'd be good. Well, it's L.A. He'd be better if it was next time. The next time, because I was talking about guys that, like, you know, I was talking to work with guys that aren't in yet. Maybe the next time there's one in the South, maybe the next one in Atlanta, or they should put in, because one guy they haven't put in is Bob Caudle. Bob Caudle, I think, belongs in. And at this point, you know, belongs in, and I know he's an AEW guy, but I think this is a different case because he's an announcer. I think it's time Shivani goes in.
Mm.
I think it's time.
I totally agree.
I think it's time. I think Tony should be in. I don't think there's any doubt. Jennifer Smith would agree. Jennifer Smith would agree. Tony Schiavone should be in the Hall of Fame. Let me think. What other?
Oh, maybe they can induct Kevin Kelly, and Jennifer Smith can do the induction and sing to him.
Exactly, and hand him cookies. she can hand him cookies like she did in Manhattan. She can hand him cookies. That was pretty great. I would love to see. I would love. And then JR and I could induct him. And then she could hand him the cookies. That'd be amazing. Woohoo! I would love Kevin Kelly. Listen, the guy's a multi-time, observer announcer of the year. Mm-hmm. I think he belongs in. I love Kevin. I totally think he belongs in. God, I can't think. Well, let's see. Lance Russell's in.
Yeah. Well, the problem you're going to run into now with announcers is you've already done the territory guys, the big territory guys.
Right.
And
right.
So you're getting into an era where there was really only two companies, and the guys from both of those companies have pretty much been inducted in terms of JR.
Right.
Jerry. Bischoff, if you want to count Bischoff as an announcer.
Yep. Jerry.
Jerry. Yep. Maybe it's Mark Madden's time to shine.
Oh, Joe, God. Are you out of your
mind? The character of Mark Madden.
Good. Your Kings of Sport Patreon can pay. Actually, my Patreon is not paying, okay, for Mark Madden to be in the Hall of Fame. I will pay for Jeremy Borash, okay? Don West. Damn it, Don
West.
Yeah,
Don West.
Hall of Fame brown bag special.
Have Mike Tenay induct him.
With his pursed lips. oh, God, Mike Tenay. Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, who else, shit, I mean.
Like, really, they're just waiting for Michael Cole to retire at this point.
I know, right. Damn it. God. I couldn't even tell you. I could not even tell you. Yeah, we got to think about that, guys.
Like once they do Styles in Philly, like that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely doing AJ. I can guarantee you next year's Hall of Fame will be AJ.
Joey.
Joey, Paul, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And John Cena is the headliner.
And John Cena is because he is definitely ECW. Francine?
I could see Francine.
Maybe Dreamer's wife, Beulah.
Beulah. Rotella said that today, Beulah. How about Shane Douglas and Flair can induct him?
Is Jazz in? Because Jazz was an ECW performer.
I love Jazz. I don't know if Jazz is in.
I don't think she is.
No, I don't think she is either. Her husband's wrestling under a mask.
I know she never did the WWE, but Missy Hyatt kind of set the stage of having hot girls in wrestling.
Yeah, I would love Missy. I mean, if Sunny's in.
Yeah.
Before she refilled. She was on the wagon when she got inducted and then refell off it.
Missy. And then the wagon ran her over five or six
pretty times. Much. Yeah, then the wagon hit her. Yeah, that'll be very interesting. I think if they do a female next year, I think it'll be Francine. I could see Missy Hyatt going in this year, kind of the LA glitzy Hollywood kind of thing.
Yeah,
I could see that. That'd be kind of badass, actually. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I think that would be kind of badass if Missy got in, because she's fine. Yeah. I mean, she's not like in porn anymore or whatever. I think
no,
she's fine.
Normal.
Maybe they'll induct Paulina from Tough Enough.
She does do Civil War reenactments, so I don't know.
You know. Does she really? I didn't know that.
Hell yeah.
I mean, she goes to a ton of cons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
The important question before you screen her for the Hall of Fame is which side do you reenact for, Missy?
That is That is
like, I know somebody's got to play each side, but what side did you choose, Missy?
I mean, come on, Nate. You got to be fair. I mean, you can't have like all the North guys, and then there's nobody on the other side. You're wrestling. Like,
did you willingly choose?
I mean, come on, Nate. You can't have puppets. You know, a bunch of Sesame Street puppets. Anyway,
how eager were you to choose your side in the Civil War
territories? I have a feeling she was on the gray side.
Yes, I have a feeling as well.
Yeah. I think Baby Doll was too. But anyway.
As long as it's a work and not a shoot, Missy.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We're all good. you know who I think should be inducted? Let's chew on this, guys, as we'll wrap it up here. You know what? You know who I think would be a great inductee? And it's a personal one. I don't think it'd be L.A. It could be next year in Philly, and maybe the next time it's at MetLife and they do it at the Garden. I would love to see Vladimir go in the Hall of Fame. The super fan. That guy has spent more money going to fucking live shows, and not just live shows, but sitting ringside at live shows. He belongs in the WWE. They were supposed to do a documentary on the network.
Yeah, I know. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. There's a picture. If you look at If you go to the video on the North-South Connection YouTube page where we simulcast, we did a simulcast of our last episode of the Place to Be podcast, myself, JR, Tim, not the tool man, Taylor, Chad, and Grooney, and D'Amato. We did the 10-year anniversary of when we all got together at WrestleMania 29. And there's a picture, JR and I have a picture with Vladimir at WrestleCon. And I do remember them saying that they were supposed to do a doc on the network.
They shot footage for it because they showed clips of it. Yeah.
There's supposed to be a doc called Superfan coming out, and it's about Vladimir. And I said, and I'm thinking, shit, if there's a guy that like the Warrior Award or whatever, it should be Vladimir. I mean, that guy has spent so much money and has traveled around this country since fucking 1984, I think. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. So I would go for that as well. So, all right, guys. Well, that should about cover it for this week. What a nice little lazy sit down, kind of sit back with some cigars like Nate and I used to do back in the day with the Cavassier, having a little fun. But we get serious, guys. Well, this was a serious episode. But we will get very serious in 2 weeks on our next episode. It is our 10th annual. Yes, 10th annual. Main event mega WrestleMania preview episode. Nate and Pete will be with us. Of course, the conscience, Steve Aloysius Willie will return, and we will cover the whole week out in SoCal. All the indie shows, the shows we mentioned tonight are still filling up, and then obviously more shows will be added because we still have 2 weeks. Just like La Rebellion defended the NWA World Tag Team titles last year in Dallas like 16 times. Sounds like Speedball Mike Bailey is going to be all over the fucking place in those 4 days. I think I saw his name, Pete, at least five times.
I believe it. Yeah, he's definitely. He was a workhorse last year, too.
He absolutely was. Yeah. Him and Alex Shelley was like one of my. I would love to see that Speedball and Will match. That match is going to be fucking ridiculous. That might be the match of the weekend, to be honest, guys. Pete, where can everyone find you in the socials and on the ether?
You can find me at Titans of Wrestling and on Twitter, Pete Schermacher on Facebook. I just started a podcast with Johnny Sorrow. We're reviewing Picard Season 3 called Picard.
Okay. Yes, I'll watch the newest step. I usually get to it the next day, so I'll watch the newest step. I've enjoyed this season.
Season 3 has been pretty good.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I'm an OG fan. It took me a long time, and I have the Blu-ray set. I have it on my shelf right here. It took me a long time to get acclimated to next gen. Probably by season 5. So probably not till like 1991, 92 did I. My dad loved next gen. I'm a Kirk guy, so I kick it OG. But
I'm with you. It took me a while to wrap my head around. Patrick Stewart as the captain,
I love Riker; he's awesome. But and Deanna, and of course he gets the hot woman on the show, Deanna. But anyway, what a shock! But great season, so I'm looking forward to listening. That's awesome. I love the third. It's the last season, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Obviously you can watch that on Paramount Plus. Nathaniel, what's going on over on the Kings of Sport Patreon?
Yeah, so first of all, shout out to Picard, because Picard is the only reason, besides Lower Decks, which is also pretty funny, why I always sign up for Paramount Plus for like 3 weeks and then delete it until they give me a reason to sign up again. But yeah, this season of Picard's been really good, so I'm excited for the conclusion. But if you want to be excited,
on a side note, before you keep going, I love Lower Decks. Lower Decks is funny.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, I'm not surprised that this is gonna be Discovery's last season. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I like her. I like Burnham. She's awesome.
I checked out on Discovery, honestly, last year.
It's all right. I do like Strange New Worlds. I love Anson Mount as Pike. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's awesome. I look forward to more of that. I'm sorry, Nate. Didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
Yeah, there was just a period where I was kind of like out on Trek, and that was during like the end of Enterprise going into like the JJ movies and Discovery, like they were all fine, but it wasn't like Next Gen or it wasn't like Deep Space Nine. You know, I wasn't watching it like those stuff, those shows, but Strange New Worlds is great. The Card's great. Deep Space Nine, they did a lot of really different things with Trek that was cool.
Yeah, I love Deep Space Nine. They got to put that on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Deep Space Nine's only on. I mean, they're all on Paramount Plus anyway. I'm just a collector, and I have the original series on Blu-ray. I have Next Gen on Blu-ray.
There's a really good documentary they made, I think, a year or so ago.
Yes, I have it on my shelf.
Deep Space Nine. It's really good.
What We Left Behind.
Yes.
I have it. It's right. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's right on my shelf. It's awesome. I love it. Love it. Yes. I am a big Avery Brooks fan.
Yes.
I love that when season one, he didn't want to look like Hawk from Spencer Pryor. And then they realized by season two, he should probably look like Hawk from Spencer Pryor. Yeah. and then season two, he was Hawk for Spencer Pryor, which made him more of a badass.
Yes. So,
anyway, I'm sorry, Nate, continue.
Yes. Avery Brooks, who is maybe my favorite captain, but also like, he seems like a maniac in real life. Like,
yes.
Yep. But a brilliant actor nonetheless.
Yes. He's actually, and he doesn't live far from me. He's actually, I think he teaches at Rutgers.
Mm.
I think he teaches an acting
class. You should sit in one of his classes.
I would love to. Oh my God. I would love to sit in on. Oh my God. Yes. So good. Anyway, continue.
That would be crazy. Just Professor Brooks.
Professor Brooks. Oh my God. That is so awesome.
But speaking of Professor Scotty, you can listen to a professor on the Kings of Sport Patreon.
I love him.
Not Professor Brooks, but Professor Chris Ely.
Yes.
He's on the latest edition of the Kings of Sport. We've actually put out two episodes of the podcast this month, which is a small miracle. we're going to probably do another one before the end of the month in regards to the NCAA tournament. And we'll probably do some NFL talk on that episode as well. And then, of course, in April, we'll do our WrestleMania coverage. But the Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/Kings of Sport, been around for 10 years. $5 gets you in the door. But if you want to, you know, get into the VIP room with Scott and with Pete. Well, Pete's not in the VIP room yet.
We'll get him.
Pete,
there.
Sign up for the link, Pete. once you get out of your darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers, just sign up for Patreon and get that link, Pete. But Steve is who I meant. Steve Willie is in the VIP room with Scotty. But patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Over 100 hours of audio, videos, talking sports, pop culture, pro wrestling, politics, movies, so much more. We will be back at least once more this month, and then a couple times in April, because we're excited for WrestleMania, even though it looks like, just due to circumstances, my trip out there is not going to come to fruition. We're still gonna have some good coverage though for WrestleMania, so we'll have to put off the reunion of the Kings of Sport for at least one more year, it looks like.
Oh man. Well, at least we know that if you're home and I'm around, we will definitely probably do a little chain reaction action. Nathaniel, what do you think?
Yes, so, we will do that. Anything else you want to find me on at in the number 8 MOZAIK at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. And I think that's gonna do it for me this week. I've got to go get my glass of Cavassier ready and listen to that one Bobby Caldwell song like 5 times in a row. Because honestly, I've never listened to any other Bobby Caldwell songs. I'm sure he's got a nice catalog, Scott. I just know him for that one song.
Well, that's a Yacht Rock staple. But
yes.
Thank you, Nathaniel. You can follow me on Twitter, obviously, at Scott C. Podfather. Please follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. We post the pods there. I'm doing a new thing called I've been doing it, you know, since mid-January. I do the wrestling time travel. So every day on the PTBN Wrestling Twitter page, I do a kind of a time travel, go back in time to this date and what shows are going on. Now, of course, today, if you're listening today, St. Patrick's Day, the 17th, I believe we will have a WrestleMania that was on this date back in 2002. Yes. So So check that out as well. We had a big week here on the network, a rare week for both of Mr. Groomberg's shows, both Extreme Resurrection and Nation Invasion. Both were on this week because, you know, just the way that the month of March fell. As I mentioned earlier to these fine gentlemen, a new episode this week of Through the Looking Glass. Dave Hall and I, our second annual WrestleMania rewatch, where we rebook three flawed WrestleManias. So this year, Dave and I rebooked WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania, speaking of Randy Savage, WrestleMania 16, and a very flawed show, which I like my card. And I'm going to tell it to these guys off mic because I want all you listeners to hear it. We rebooked WrestleMania 32. I'm going to tell the guys my two big matches when we go off air. But I want all of you to listen because it was really great. I think I came up with a pretty badass. Let's put it this way. I think Nathaniel will like my main event. Because it has to do with two guys that were there that night in Dallas. Mm-hmm. One of them had a flamethrower. So anyway, it was Black Adam. Anyway, if anybody's watching, it's all right. Have a great 2 weeks, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our mega 10th annual main event WrestleMania preview special. Pete will be there. Nate will be there. Steve Willie will return. We'll go through the whole week of indie shows. We will preview NXT Stand and Deliver, which could be the farewell for Mr. Breaker. And we will, of course, preview and make our picks for the two nights of WrestleMania at SoFi. So happy St. Patrick's Day. Be safe out there, please. If you're going to imbibe safely. That's why they have Uber and Lyft apps. Do not drive. Have a great 2 weeks. We will talk to you on the fortnight of WrestleMania.
Hey, Scott Criscola.
I hope I don't fall for this. Hey, Nate Milton.
You know what? Never mind. DraftKings just updated the odds on Brock versus Omos. I got to get to that.
Fucking Omos. Damn you, Vince!
Can you feel the heat? Say hello to Eddie. I don't care if you don't like me. Fight me. If you feel it, hey, join me. Yo. Streets of the ghetto at the end of the week. I get to keep your dinero. You're fast asleep when I sneak in your Gaza. Your life sucks cause you're bankrupt and I'm laughing. You can't trust me, answer, cause I'm Latin. Yeah. Yo, too many try to tell me what I already know. No. Yeah. Viva la raza. Wanna be Latino? If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Mamacita, I got that passion that's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm thumping and tough, calling your bluff, cuz I don't care if you don't like me. Everybody wants to fight me. Oye, lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna be. Ay, nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you. Latino y... Streets of the ghetto at the end of the week. I get to keep your dinero. You're fast asleep when I sneak in your Gaza. Your life sucks cause you're bankrupt and I'm laughing. You can't trust me, answer, cause I'm Latin. Yeah. Yo, too many try to tell me what I already know. No. Yeah. Viva la raza. I
siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy latino. And I'm thumping and tough, calling your bluff, cause